Oh, I like the dark one better.
I'm not a people pleaser.
We always say that about you. He's many things.
Didn't expect to cry today. Well, there's a few things going on today, Paul. Just a few. Yesterday, we'll start with yesterday, then we'll progress through the timeline of today. Microsoft posted pretty much astronomical numbers across the board for almost all of their businesses yesterday. What was it, like 37.2 billion
in revenues? Yeah. To give you some perspective on this, I told my wife yesterday that she will be happy to know that Microsoft will be in business for at least another quarter. And that, you know, back in the day, we used to talk, and back in the day, I don't even remember what day this, you know, when this was, but back in the day,
like Tuesday,
the big thing on Microsoft was, you know, they pull in like 20 billion in revenues every quarter. They're going to be fine. You know, and now they're almost double that.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. So $37.2 billion in revenue, a net income, or what they put into the bank, of $13.9 billion, which is just an astronomical number.
Yep.
Pretty much everything was up by 10% or more across the board. Office 365 commercials at 45.3 million subscribers. Surface revenues hit $1.5 billion. I will be shocked at this point if they don't hit $2 billion next quarter, because now they'll have the Surface Go laptop. Xbox revenue, but this is services and everything else, up 30%, basically driven off of basically COVID. Everyone's at home. Did you notice, though, Paul, did you notice that for the first time in many years, or at least many quarters, they didn't call out Fortnite as being a primary driver of revenue? It said third-party, first-party, and Game Pass subscriptions.
Yeah, well, that might be them tinkering, you know, with the, but yeah, you know, Game Pass is going well in the context of cloud streaming services, right? I mean, it's, you know, what was the figure before that? 10 million subscribers or 11, whatever it was.
So. Or was it 15? I think they're at 15, actually.
15, okay.
I think that's what
but
it was.
I always look at the top three business units, right? So for a while, they were all kind of neck and neck at about 11 billion in revenues each. And, you know, by nature of the way the world's going, you know, more personal computing is the one getting lagging behind, because the other two are all cloud-based, right? But still, 11.8 billion to more personal computing, which is basically Windows and Xbox and Surface. 12.3 billion for productivity and business processes, which is the Microsoft 365, you know, all that stuff, and others, you know. And then, of course, the big business is Intelligent Cloud, 13 billion. Revenue up 22%, driven by Azure, and Azure revenue grew 48%. And I didn't look this up yet because I'm going to do my short takes thing, but the narrative there has been, remember, it used to be like 70-71% growth. Yeah. Like, oh, it's snow falling. I think this growth is actually up.
Oh, I bet
think
it is.
I think Azure revenue actually grew year over year, which hasn't happened in over a year.
You know,
roughly off the top of my head.
So did you listen to the earnings call?
Not yet.
No. Okay. So one of the analysts, I can't remember which one it was, and Microsoft didn't say this, so this is coming from the analyst, that based on his modeling of Azure revenue, is that it may have passed Windows in revenue brought in for the company.
Wow. Wow. Okay. I'm
so even if even if he's not right and it's still below it,
right?
I bet he's somewhere
said
in
that.
The,
so did Microsoft? What did they say to that?
They didn't really respond.
Yeah.
But I bet that Azure revenue is now within the ballpark of somewhere around Windows, from a company wide perspective. So just to put it into perspective.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, Windows has to be 2/3. Well, that's. I mean, that's not true.
I don't know.
That's 2/3 of that business unit's revenue, but actually that's probably not true.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So
I don't know, because Microsoft won't tell us.
Yeah. Just like they're not going to. So the other important thing to take away from this is the last quarter of Xbox revenue without the next generation stuff muddled in. So it sort of creates a baseline of saying like, okay, this is what the end of the Xbox One generation, this is where we were at. Although that's sort of muddled too because of the pandemic, which.
Oh, this all, yeah. So the natural inclination is going to be, first of all, it's a holiday quarter too. So holiday quarters tend to be great, you know, better, obviously, for entertainment products and services. But we're going to want to compare the revenues in this coming quarter to what they saw when they launched the Xbox One back in the day, the Xbox One S, the Xbox One X. But the thing is, you know, Microsoft, by diversifying their Xbox business, is kind of lifting all ships. So there's going to be like a growth in there from you know, Xbox Game Pass and the services stuff as well. And not just because of COVID necessarily, although lingering. But just the services associated with Xbox are, it's kind of like you see on the Apple side with the iPhone versus services. Like you're starting to see services, you know, mm-hmm. become something.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep. We will see. We will see. Anyways, blockbuster quarter for Microsoft. And of course, their stock was down after hours because, you know, that's why. Actually, their guidance was a little bit weaker than some analysts were projecting. And that's.
But again, I think this is a normalization of related to COVID. The guidance, that is. This has been a horrible year for the entire planet and an exuberant year for Wall Street. and big tech in particular, because of the need for the online services related to communications and then for computers and stuff. So that is going to, you know, even out at some point. And mm-hmm. I think there are indications that that's happening.
So there you go. The other big news of the day is what Paul has on that shelf behind him, which, you know, I don't hate Paul, but I do.
Yes, I get that a lot.
It's just weird that it's coming from your wife. No, I'm just kidding.
Like, we're stuck in the house together. What are you going to do?
So, Paul, you have pulled it out of its sarcophagus, if I am.
My walk. So today Microsoft allowed us to start publishing stuff about the Xbox Series X and S, specifically unboxing. And that's it. We literally can't talk about any of the... anything beyond, look, here it is out of the box, and you can look at the hardware and everything. So I put up a big photo slideshow of, just a list of photos, really, of the Xbox One X, but I've specifically not opened the Xbox One S so that we could try to do that live on the show, although no one's watching us live except for you and I. I've even done something crazy. This is not going to look so good in the beginning, but it will get better, I promise.
story of my life.
Is I have a second camera set up. Let's see if this works.
Oh,
it froze. Hold on.
Oh,
there.
Look at that. Back. Look at that. It looks great. I mean,
because it's...
It's not backwards. It's the way it's supposed to be.
It's not backwards. Look, the software fixed it. So what I meant by it's not going to look good is the light. So I'm going to open the box and that light's going to get out of the way.
Okay.
So here's the thing. And I'll eventually put the boxes together. You can actually see it in the photo. So the photo slideshow on the site shows how the difference in size of the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
The difference in size of the consoles is astonishing, and I'll be able to show you that live in a moment after we go through some of this stuff. So I'm going to just move this arm out of the way. And so basically what you see in both of these boxes is the same thing. It's just that this thing, mm-hmm. and this is my hand. I mean, so I know I have
thanks for hands. Clarifying.
Well, no, but compared to the size of it, like it's small, you know? So like, this is the Xbox One X controller. This is a small console. It's really...
Do you have two control? Like, is it like 1.5 wide or like 2 wide? Looks like maybe 2. Two controller wise.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's less than 2. This is a normal Xbox One controller.
That's
fine.
That'll help people at home who have an Xbox controller understand the actual size, like myself. It's pretty, pretty tiny.
I brought out my Xbox One X and also the Series X, and we'll be able to put them all next to each other, whatever. So the console itself, it says small. It's funny because it's not really much to the box.
Yeah.
If you're familiar, like the recent PCs I've gotten have used this exact same packaging. It's kind of interesting. It must be ecologically sound or whatever.
I mean, I've gotten boxes of chocolate that are larger than that.
I know. And this thing, there's a little bit of a weight to it because obviously there's like a transformer or whatever in there, but it's really not particularly big, right? So it's...
Wow.
It's so cute. Like I kind of want to use it just because it's just so awesome and cute.
Yeah. Like it looks like when you put it on its side, when you can't see the black and the ports and all that, it looks like one of those like Western Digital USB Type-C hard drives.
That's exactly right. It's a different shape, but this is smaller than my NAS overall.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly like that. That looks like an external hard drive.
Yeah, it really does. So that's that. And then, this I assume is going to be exactly the same as what was in the other one. So there's the power cable, and it's worth noting, no brick, right? Mm-hmm. So it's somehow in this tiny thing is the whole deal. And then a really nice quality HDMI cable.
You know what you should do?
What's up?
You should go find one of the massive Xbox One power bricks. Remember those things?
Yeah, I do. I have one, actually.
You should take some photos of that thing, like, sitting on top of there.
Yeah. Well, remember, so over the course of time, they fixed these things. So the Xbox One S and X both just have the power cable.
Right.
And this one does too. So they've kind of, you know, but remember back in the day, like Xbox 360, the brick was almost as big as the console.
Mm-hmm. Or is that the brick that I'm thinking of?
Yeah, I think it's that. I think that's what you're thinking of.
Yeah, maybe if you have a 360 brick, I'd be curious to see the actual size.
So the differences on this thing are that it's got that kind of really grippy thing on the back, like we saw after the original Elite controller came out. They added kind of a grippiness to the new, at the time, Xbox One controller.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is very different. It's kind of hard-edged on the four sides of the four points.
Yeah, that's like the Series Elite controller, but that one's obviously baked on.
Yeah, but not replaceable. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer it. It actually, those little edges help you find where you are better, and I like that quite a
bit. So that controller is actually smaller, right? So how you have larger hands.
Let's do this again. So I actually, to me, they seem, again, it's not white, obviously, but I think they're about the same size.
Yeah.
But you can see the difference in the...
Yeah, they only said it was like a small percentage or something like that. They made it more narrow or whatever, but...
You know, everything, you know... by the way, USB-C there. That's one big difference. That's nice. Controllers, to me, seem great. So there's that. But let's get this out of the way without killing anybody. And I think the other interesting thing to do here would be to put these things side by side. So, and unfortunately, we're going to have to deal with that light a little bit. Sorry.
Just turn the light off?
Yeah. What if I just turn the overhead light on?
Oh, there you go. That works much better.
Yep. All right. So that's the S, obviously. And then next to it.
Womp.
Yep. I know. Try not to drop it, Paul. Let me move that up a little bit so you can actually see it. Okay. That's pretty good. I'm going to move that over a little bit because I need to add one more.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the Xbox One X, right? And so the interesting thing here is it's all covered in dust, too. It's deeper, obviously.
Yep.
And, you know, thinner, but it's... maybe I could turn it a little bit so you can see it better. And actually, you know, like this thing next to this is in some ways the most interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the more relevant.
Because it is...
Wow.
You know, it's kind of hard to say because they're not exactly the same shape or whatever, but I mean it's tiny, you know.
Yeah.
It's amazing how small it is. I love this thing just because it's so small. Like you could almost make a case for it as a living room device, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I can't talk about that.
Yeah, I was gonna say what it's only the unboxing, and that's
I literally can't say anything about it. So I've been using it. I'll just put it that way. I haven't been using this yet. I just unboxed it, as you can see. But I have been using this, and I can't say anything, I guess. So I'm on whatever schedule I'm on. I can't really talk about that. But, you know, just from, like I said, I think it's fine to say because I've held the controller and used it and stuff. I mean, I really like the feel of it. Mm-hmm. It's not quite Elite quality, but it's but I think it's a nice step up. And I think people kind of complain about this thing because it's like a monolith from 2001 or something.
Yeah.
But I think it's really attractive. And actually, you can't.
I was going to describe it as the USSR of consoles.
please don't try. You can't see it for some reason, but it's green in there. And it's got really. This kind of curved thing is not duplicated anywhere on this. It almost looks warped if you didn't understand that was the original shape. But there's green in there. And it's really cool looking.
Nice.
You know, if it was focus, it would be. Anywho, that's enough of that. But you get the idea. And it will take 10 minutes for this thing to switch cameras again.
Mm.
There we go. And then that ginormous box. I mean, the box for this thing is probably, it's not half the size, but it's not quite two-thirds the size, something like that.
Interesting. Well, it looks good.
Yeah.
Which is...
It does look good, and I wish I could say more than that.
We'll have to wait a little bit longer until then. Oh, not to change subjects immediately, but Microsoft did announce yesterday on their earnings call that Teams now has 115 million daily active users, which is up 40 million from, I think, May 1st.
Something like that, yeah.
About adding, I think it's about 8 million a month.
Yeah, it's incredible. And that too, you feel like maybe it's going to level off at some point. But honestly, I think the thing that's interesting about teams is that there's been a temporary bump for, in certain things like PC sales.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to go down again. It's just no way around it. But I feel like the team's usage thing is persistent because people, I saw that and the people I interviewed and you hear it from Microsoft too. Like once people and companies start using Teams, they stay on Teams. Even the world went completely normal again.
Yeah.
People, companies would still record meetings with Teams, make them available later. If people weren't there, just people need to review it. Mm-hmm. Automatic transcriptions. So all the awesome stuff you get, you know, Teams is, it's just, it stinks because it's like a pandemic year and it's like why would we celebrate anything really? But I mean, Teams is such an incredible success story.
Yeah. And it's to your exact point, everybody's in the office tomorrow. It's not like they'd stop using Teams. It's a really, really sticky application inside of the Office suite. And that's what Microsoft was aiming for. That's what they built. And there you go. So this has been one of our more content packed episodes.
I think. We should take the rest of the week off.
We should. Unfortunately, I don't think that's the way it works.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well.